getting into a parent-type mode again. I mean, we still got three of them at home, but they aren't quite as small, and they aren't quite as dependent as that one was. But it was really good. She is a really scheduled baby, very scheduled, very good. I mean, it was great. It was like easy. Yeah, I don't remember it being quite that easy, but it was easy for me because I, hey, honey, you got to know. Yeah, I don't know why it was easy, but it was really good. It was a really good week. We're in Romans chapter 4. We're going to begin the chapter this week. Going to go Romans chapter 4, going through the first five verses. Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about. But not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the gift of life, the gift that you have given. Father, thank you for the examples we have. The examples we have in the Old Testament even. Lord, for how you have worked through the lives of so many. And Father, we can look back at that and be encouraged. We can look back and see the truth of your word. Thank you for the gift of truth. Lord, it is a gift. It is a gift to have truth right here. Right in front of us, where we can see it, study it, understand it, because of who you are. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've come to this point in Romans, knowing that Paul is the author. He wrote the book. He wrote about justification by faith alone. And to do that, to build the case for that, he starts off showing the condemnation of all men. That everyone is condemned under sin. There isn't anyone who can work their way to heaven. There's no righteous work that can gain salvation. Now, we need to know that for what he's going to be talking about today. We need to understand that he needs to build this case because there are so many, there were so many, especially in that day, and there are today, who believe that religious works can be good enough, who believe that all you need to do is certain things and you will be good enough for God and God will be obliged to accept you. So he is building that. He shows that all are under sin. He shows the advantages of being a Jew, not the advantage of heaven, not the advantage of salvation, but the advantage of having the oracles of God, the truth of God, knowing, having all that history where God worked among his people. So there was advantages. But what he ended up showing is that all are under sin and all are justified as a gift. Faith is the acceptance of that gift. But then he shows that God can still be just, even though he does justify the ungodly, those who don't deserve it and yet have faith in him. So God is just and he still justifies. He is still able to justify those who need that justification, us, basically. But he starts answering some questions. He answers the question of whether faith nullifies the law. No, it establishes the law. And then he goes on to prove that. Now, he wants to prove that using the Old Testament examples. So in chapter 4, what we're looking at is the Old Testament example of that justification by faith. And he starts off with a notable, noteworthy example, someone who was very well known. Someone who every Jew would have said, that man is our father. That man is our forefather. Remember in John, when we were going through John, and Jesus was having a discussion in chapter 8 with the Pharisees and the Sadducees there, and he was talking about, he said Abraham. He mentioned Abraham. And the Pharisees said, we know our father. We know who our father was, Abraham. Well, they said that to infer that he didn't have a dad, right? Because Mary was pregnant before Mary and Joseph were married. They said that to try and condemn him. But what he turned it around and said was, before Abraham was, I am. What he did was call himself God, which they picked up rocks to throw at him, right? But the proud thing was, Abraham is our father. So Paul here, what he's doing, he uses Abraham. He starts off in verse 1. He says, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather according to the flesh, has found?" What then? And the "what then" literally is therefore. So he's taken what he has already said, the condemnation of all men without faith, the condemnation of people through their works, that they cannot work hard enough, they cannot do good enough. And he enters in, therefore, let's talk about Abraham. Let's talk about Abraham. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh. Now he puts that in. Our forefather according to the flesh, because this is what they would have said. This is what they would have understood. That he is our forefather, according to the flesh, has found. Now the word found is interesting. The word found is in the perfect tense. Which basically means, what he's saying is, what has Abraham completely discovered? Completely, fully, 100% discovered. Or what can we discover through Abraham? Completely and fully, what can we discover through Abraham? Now, Abraham was an interesting character because the rabbis at that time, in this day, taught that Abraham was justified because he did what God said. He was justified because he did the works of God. And that was part of their justification for saying, you know what, you need to do all the right things. You need to know the law. You need to know what God says. And they would wear little boxes around their wrist. They would put those little boxes, tie them on a string and put them around their head so they can always have the law. And they would write the law on those little boxes. They would always have them before them. They would always be, oh yeah, it says thou shalt not this. Oh yeah, it says thou shalt this. Right, so they would always, they were wanting to be conscious of that because Abraham was justified because of the work that he did. How, what good works, and that he followed God. Well, think back on Abraham for a minute, because it was interesting. I did a little study on Abraham. You remember Abraham? He was called out of Ur of the Chaldeans. Why was he called out? Does the Bible ever say so? Doesn't say why he was called out. He was called out because that was God's choice. God chose to call him out. Most likely, we don't have a lot of background on what he was like before, but most likely he was an idolater. Because Ur of the Chaldeans was known for their idolatry. There was many gods. There was a god named Nanna, who was the moon god that was in charge of all the gods. But they were idolatrous. They served many gods. And Abraham was called out of there. Now, God called Abraham to go, to leave that, and to go where he wanted. And Abraham went, but he took his father and he took his nephew along. God didn't say to do that. So right there was a lack of faith. And in fact, it caused a problem with his father. He hadn't ended up having to wait 15 years before he ever got to where God desired, got to where God wanted him to go. And even then, he took his nephew, which was another lack of faith, which caused a problem later on in choosing the land. He went through Egypt. He lied in Egypt about Sarah, which caused another problem, caused Pharaoh's family to suffer because of it. He committed adultery, which caused another problem, caused the Arab nations, which you know what is going on even today with the Arabs and the Israelites. There's constant battle, constant war. Well, the Arabs are from the Ishmael. Ishmael was was from that adulterous situation, which he was doing, he thought, out of faith. He was doing to solve God's dilemma. Because God said, I'll make of you a great nation. And he had all the reasons why he couldn't do that. So he tried it his way. Caused another problem. So there was all sorts of instances where you have lack of faith. Lack of faith that was shown by Abraham.
And yet God chose him. And according to Hebrews chapter 11, he had faith. And according to Genesis chapter 15, which is where the next verse is talking about, or the verse 3 quotes, Abraham believed God. Abraham had faith. So God took his faith. God used his faith, even though it wasn't a perfect faith, even though it was tempered in many ways. He struggled with it in many ways. But God still used him because God chose to use him. And God desired to use that. So he was greatly respected, even with the problems with his faith. But God worked through him. God used his faith. Let's look at the logical progress here. In verses 2 through, I think it's 2 through 5 there. The progress, the logic of it. Look what he says. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about. Now, it's an interesting construction because remember that word if is in the first class condition, which means you can put since in there. So Paul says, well, since Abraham was justified by works, he's got something to boast about. Do you reckon Paul is serious when he says that? Think about it for a minute. Because everything he had just said was, you can't be justified by works. Nobody is. Everybody is condemned in sin. And everything he's going to say goes completely against that. So what Paul was doing was helping the people understand by using their own argument. the natural argument of the people of that day. It's much like if I came, I can't even think of a good illustration. I had an illustration this morning. I thought of it, and it involved Chris and I thought, you know what? I'm going to use that, and I'm going to mess it up. So I'm not even going to use it. I can do it with about Ben, me and Ben. But I can't even think of a good one there. Last night, we went to Iowa City. We did the endless shrimp thing. Okay. It's at Red Lobster. That's it. It's at Red Lobster. You go to Red Lobster and you buy shrimp and they just keep bringing it. And they just, you know, they'll just keep bringing it. Well, that used to work for me really good, but not as much for me anymore. But Ben's really good at it. And Emily, she's good at it. She likes shrimp. All right. So, you know, we make our money by taking our kids. That's how we make our money back. But if I would go and I'd say, you know what? Well, since I can eat more than Ben, I can eat more shrimp than Ben. You know, you would look at me and say, yeah, right. Okay. If you know Ben. Or if I had Jake and Luke, well, I can eat more than those. But yeah, right. Okay. And that's basically the thought pattern Paul is saying. Look, since Abraham's justified by works, since you think that Abraham's justified by works, which is what you have been taught, which is what the rabbis have taught, since you think that that's true, then he would have something to brag about. In fact, he would be justified in bragging. He could really brag to people. He could brag because God said, do this, leave your people, leave the place where you grew up, and go out and live in a tent. And he did it. And therefore, God said, okay, since you did that, you're just my kind of guy. That's the guy I want. God said, you're going to have a baby even though you're old, and Abraham, and then he did it. He had a baby even though he was old, so that's my Abraham. That's the kind of guy, yeah. Since he's justified by his works, then he can brag. But do you notice how he ends that verse? He says, but not before God. But not before God. Why? Because if you go back to chapter 3, verse 27, it says, where then is boasting? It's the same word. Where then is bragging? It's excluded. It's completely excluded. By what law? Well, by the principle of faith. Because there is no work that is braggable enough to gain heaven. So he says, you know what? Since he did all this, boy, he can just boast all he wants, but you know what? Not before God. Because there's still nothing that he could do that was good enough before God. Now, before men, he could boast. And you guys can sit there and say how great he is, and you can boast for him, but not before God. Because even with all of that, even with our great forefather Abraham, even though with all that he did, it wasn't good enough for salvation. It wasn't good enough to gain God's righteousness. Not before God. And he explains it. Look what he says in verse 3. For, that word for can be because. Because, what does the scripture say? Here's what it says in Genesis chapter 15, 15 verse 6. This is the proof that he can't boast. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. You know, the Jews and the people, they believed that Abraham was a righteous man. They believed that he had righteousness to him. But so many of them were taught and believed that his righteousness was because of his work, was because that he obeyed, was because of what he did. What they didn't understand is what he did, his obedience, was a result of that righteousness. Now, there are two ways to interpret this verse, and I want you to see this because it's important. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Okay? The two ways involved what it means. What does it mean? Because he believed God, we understand that, and the word believe means faith or trust. Same word. So Abraham trusted God. Abraham had faith in God. And it was credited to him as righteousness. What was credited? Because it can mean two things. Number one, it can mean the merit of his faith. The fact that he acted as and had merit in his faith. So that because he had faith, because he believed God, God said, okay, since you believe, you're good enough. Since you did that work of belief, you're good enough. Since you did that work of faith, you're good enough. Therefore, I can accept you. Since you did that work. All right? A lot of people believe that's true. So you have to do a work of faith. Now, the problem with that is he had just said there is no work that is good enough. And in fact, you go to Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. So even if faith was a work of righteousness, it still wouldn't be good enough. It still wouldn't be able to justify us. So Abraham still wouldn't be good enough even if he did a work of faith, even if his faith were a work. And I think we need to understand that because faith is not our work. All right? Now we understand that God gives faith. According to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that, grace and faith, both, because this is in the neuter here, grace and faith, is not of yourself, is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you see how often throughout Scripture it talks about boasting? And how we cannot boast before God? Because we don't even generate the faith that we have. But Abraham believed God. Abraham had faith. The question is, does it refer to the merit of his faith or is it God's righteousness imputed to a sinner? Is it there, God's righteousness imputed to Abraham? And that's, I believe, the only way you can translate it. Faith is not a work, but it's a medium that God uses to give us his righteousness. Abraham trusted God that what he said was true. And that trust affected his life's work. But the works he did were a result of trusting God, not the cause of trusting God. Righteousness was given through the medium of God's trust, or of Abraham's trust, not because of the work of his faith. Now, I want to I want to illustrate this to you. I got a quote. First, Kenneth Weiss explains it a lot better than I can. Here's what he says. Now, faith, in the sense of being a work, or of being a work that merits God's favor, is strictly and entirely a work, and as such would be the effect or the efficient cause of man's justification, which, by what has preceded, it cannot be. It will therefore follow that it was not the act of believing which was reckoned to him as a righteous act, or on account of which perfect righteousness was laid at his charge, but the fact of his trusting God to perform his promise introduced him into the blessed promise. In other words, it was the act of Abraham placing himself in such an attitude of trust in an acceptance of God's blessing that it made it possible for God to bestow righteousness upon him. In the context of Genesis chapter 15, God had said, "You will have a child. I'm going to make you of you a great nation." And Abraham's going, "I'm old. My wife is old. How can this be?" But it doesn't matter. I believe you. I believe you, God. Abraham believed God and gained God's righteousness because he believed God. He chose to trust God. Now, did Abraham fully understand it? No. Abraham took Sarah's handmaid and had a baby with Sarah's handmaid because he's thinking, you know what? I got to have a baby. This is the only way to do it because Sarah's too old. He's trying every which way in and of himself to accomplish what God said is going to be true. Instead of trusting God completely. Well, he did, but he did trust God. He did. It says it right here. He believed God. He believed that God, what God said would happen. And then he tried it his own way. And yet God says that faith of believing that God's what God says would happen was credited to him as righteousness. It's much like the only illustration I come up with is a drowning man. You know, at a pool, you get a pool with a lifeguard standing out there, and a guy is drowning, and the lifeguard jumps down and runs over to the edge, and the guy's right near the edge, and he pokes his hand up, and the guy grabs his hand and pulls him out to safety, pulls him out. Well, that hand isn't what merited his being saved. But that was the medium that lifeguard used. That was what the lifeguard grabbed. Could the lifeguard have reached down and grabbed his head and pulled him up? Yeah, but he used that hand. It's much like Abraham. Abraham believed God. His faith was what God used to impute righteousness to him. It wasn't the work that Abraham did, but it was the fact that he believed God. And God poured out his righteousness on him because he believed God. The word credited here, what it says. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. The word credited is that word logizomai. We get logic from. It was logically placed or reckoned or charged to his account. God put to Abraham's account or deposited for him or credited to him his righteousness. God placed it on his account. Not because of what Abraham did, but through Abraham's belief. Through the medium of Abraham's belief. Christ hadn't even died and rose again yet, but God credited righteousness to him through that medium of his faith, believing what God said. The deposit put to his account was paid for at the cross. Look what it says in verse 4. Now to the one who works, this is the logic of it. To the one who works, the wage was not credited as a favor, but as what is due. It's much like if we come and do your roof. Well, and then I give you a bill and you pay it and I say, "Oh, that is just so wonderful how you just give us a favor by paying the bill." Well, no, we did the work. You think about that when you go to your boss, when you do your work, you expect to be paid. because it's part of the system. I work for it, you get paid for it. He says, it's not like that. He says, because if God owed Abraham, then that would be a work of faith. If God owes us, that would mean that we did something to earn God's favor. And look at what it says here. It says, not to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor. That word favor is the word charis. His wage is not credited as a grace. Literally, that's what it says. Now, it's not talking about physical labor. It's talking about those who are working to try and gain God's merit, to try and gain merit before God, to try and gain salvation. And which these people thought that was good to do. Thought, you know what, if I can just be like Abraham and work hard enough, God will accept me. He says, no, if you're working, then you get a wage. Abraham didn't work for that wage. Abraham believed God to get credited this grace. And it's interesting that he uses the word grace because that means literally unmerited favor. Favor from God that isn't worked for at all. Look what verse 5 says. To the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. To the one who does not work. It's not talking about physical labor again. It's speaking about working for salvation, a place with God. It says, but believes on him, the object of his faith being Jesus Christ, the one who justifies the ungodly, the one who justifies those we think are not deserving, what Paul spoke of in chapter 3, the world, everyone who is not deserving to be justified. His faith is credited, or that is his faith is the medium, is the basis on which God gives that favor, or the medium on which God gives that favor. God gives that grace. God gives righteousness, as it says. Because what does Scripture say? He became sin for us that what? We might become. You know that says that we do become? No. That we might become, and it's a subjunctive, which means it's a possibility. That we have the possibility of becoming the righteousness of God in him. He became sin for us. Who did Jesus Christ become sin for? The world. The sin of the world was laid upon Jesus Christ. That we might become, that we have the opportunity to become God's righteousness. How? Same way Abraham did. Through the medium of faith, by believing God, the one who justifies the ungodly, the one who gives life to those who don't deserve it. And who doesn't deserve it? Every one of us. See, faith is not a work. If you have faith today, you have not worked hard enough so that God has to accept you. Acceptance by God, righteousness by God is still a gift that he gives, but he gives it through the medium of your faith. He gives it because you believe him and you have the attitude and the trust in which he can pour forth his righteousness. He can give you his righteousness because you have that medium, which he gave, by the way, he gives. This is the essence of salvation. Believing in Jesus Christ is not a work that you do to gain merit with God so that he thinks you're good enough to save. Believing is the medium that God uses to reckon you righteous with his righteousness. Believing is trusting God rather than yourself. Abraham knew. He knew all the reasons that he could not have a child, but he chose to stand on the fact that God was right in what he said. We know all the good things that we've done, but we need to choose to recognize these things are as filthy rags because we are to believe what God has done for salvation instead of what we have done. You know, when you came to Jesus Christ, if you're saved today, when you came to Jesus Christ, there is nothing that in your past that you trusted for your salvation. I mean, it wasn't, you didn't come to Jesus Christ and say, well, you know what? I've always gone to church I've given 10% of everything I own, and I'm a really good guy. So, boy, you're lucky to have me, God. You're just so lucky. I mean, I know that you'll let me in now because you'll be fair. You know, if you came to Christ that way, I want you to know that's the wrong way. That's a problem. There's a problem. Why? Because none of us deserve heaven. None of us deserve it. But when you came to Christ on one thing alone, Jesus Christ having paid for your debt, having paid for sin, giving you his righteousness. You came on one thing alone, and that is God's grace, his mercy, his love. Only, that's the only way you can come to Jesus Christ. And the only way that God can give you that righteousness is through faith. It's not whether you have enough faith or whether your faith is great enough. It's nothing like that. It's simply believing God, believing the one who justifies the ungodly, which is us. Having Jesus Christ be your Lord, your Savior, trusting in him rather than myself. If you have never trusted in Christ, I would love to show you from God's word how you can have that relationship with him. Not a religion, but a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ, then know this. We have now a reason to serve God. Not because we have to gain heaven, but because we already have it. We already are God's children. Therefore, I want to serve. I want to give. I want to live who he wants me to be. I want to show the world the love of Jesus Christ. We have a reason to serve him, just like Abraham did. Abraham didn't leave the Ur of Chaldees because he wanted to gain heaven. He believed God. Therefore he left. Therefore he followed. Therefore he trusted. Therefore he obeyed. Because he believed God. There's the essence not only of salvation, it's the essence of salvation, but even more, it's the essence of living out the Christian life. It's believing God. And what we talked about in Sunday school, the renewing of our mind, that all happens as we continue to grow in believing God, yielding to him instead of ourselves. Let's look to the Lord in prayer.